We welcome our visitors today. We're thrilled to have you with us. If you're looking for a church home at the end of this service, I'll share with you how you may become a part of Central. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. John, to chapter 3. We're going to read the first 7 verses. That's a familiar story, the story of Nicodemus. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible, unfailing source of information to tell us what we ought to believe about God and how we should live for God. The only infallible rule of faith and practice. Therefore, to know what God wants us to believe and to know how God wants us to walk, we must go to His Word. This is God's word. Listen to it. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That means he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the important ruling council of the Hebrews. This man came to Jesus by night, and right away that catches our attention that he was doing this surreptitiously. Came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. Now that's an official term, and we're surprised to hear this word in the mouth of Nicodemus. Being a ruler of the Jews, knowing that Jesus is in disfavor with the Sanhedrin, and eventually they're going to put him to death, but he calls him Rabbi, which really means teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God. There was some quality about Jesus that Nicodemus knew that God was a part of it. And then now he tells us why. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, Jesus just pierces through this facade of interest that Nicodemus has thrown up to speak to what's on Nicodemus's heart. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he knew that in the heart of Nicodemus there was a desire, a holy desire to see God's kingdom. And he says, you can't do that, Nicodemus, unless you're born anew. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He completely misunderstands, doesn't he? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. I assume that means that unless one is born by being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit, is what is meant here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. Now, our meditation this morning is entitled, When Turning Over New Leaves Won't Work. And our text is the 3rd verse. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew. The Greek word there is anothen, which means born anew, again, or from above. Any of them are adequate translations. Unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of water and the Spirit is necessary. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, through this event in the life of Nicodemus, as he's confronted by Jesus, help us to see ourselves reflected there, that we might learn as Nicodemus learned. Open our hearts and minds for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, this morning I want to talk about turning over new leaves. From time to time, all of us get dissatisfied with ourselves, and we make a resolution that we're going to turn over a new leaf, to make a fresh beginning, to start all over. I think Nicodemus wanted to turn over a new leaf when he came to Jesus at night. Why would we think that? Well, first of all, Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He was a man of position and responsibility and authority. And he's placing all of that in jeopardy by coming to this young itinerant preacher by night. Any association, no matter how secret, is dangerous. And only a man in trouble would run that risk. Only a man desperately searching for something missing in his own life would dare to risk all. Now that's the first thing we can note about Nicodemus. He was looking for something that was missing in his life. Have you ever felt that way? I suspect most of us have. The things we have achieved in life often do not satisfy us. And we thought that when we reached certain goals, attained certain objectives, that we would be happy and life would be filled with meaning. But it didn't work out that way. When we got to where we dreamed of going, we found the dream did not bring to us the joy and the fulfillment we thought that it would. I have a friend who's about as brilliant as anybody I know, but lately as we've talked together, he's expressing a deep dissatisfaction. He's accomplished every objective that he set for himself. But now in his late 40s, he's suddenly discovering that that is not enough. He's unfulfilled. Now, a lot of people are in that boat this morning. No matter what we may have achieved or what we may have done, there is still a deep sense of inner dissatisfaction. We had thought life would be fuller, happier than it has turned out to be. Now, I think that's something of what Nicodemus was feeling that night. He had arrived in many ways, and yet it did not meet the most profound need of his inner being. So when he heard about Jesus, when he heard the stories of the miracles and the healings, he recognized that here was some spiritual reality that he needed to reach out and touch to meet the longings of his heart. You see, he had discovered that he had a spiritual vacuum in his life. You know, the Bible says that you and I are created different from the rest of the world. We are made in God's image, and our hearts are restless until they rest in him. But the second thing we note about Nicodemus is that he went to Jesus by night. And that's rather typical of most of us. We don't want others to know about the real inner us. We wear masks, we throw up facades, because we don't want to expose ourselves and let people know we're hurting. Isn't that true with you? Isn't it a fact that most of us don't want others to know how desperate our needs might be? And isn't it especially true that we don't want to admit to others that we have a spiritual vacuum? You see, somehow that's ungodly. That's unchristian. It's almost as though we weren't believers to admit we have spiritual needs. But the trouble is, as long as we can't be honest with others, we have trouble being honest with ourselves. Nicodemus couldn't admit to his fellow leaders that he had spiritual needs. After all, he and they were the leaders of Israel. They would laugh at him or think him weak or inadequate. He was so concerned about what others would think. Now, I have that problem, don't you? Can you admit this morning that you may have a spiritual vacuum in your life, a real need? No, most of us can't. We want to be closet Christians and come to Jesus by night. But the third thing I'd like for us to notice about Nicodemus is what he did when his needs got so desperate. What do you do with your needs when you get desperate? When you're hurting badly? What do you do when you have such an ache inside because life just isn't fulfilling? Well, we try to laugh louder and play harder and drink more and blame the wife more and shout at the children more loudly. And sometimes we do crazy, sinful things to boost our sagging ego. Speaking of shouting at the children, did you hear about the lady that went to Florida on vacation? She was sitting on the beach with a friend. And the friend said, "It's happy hour. Let's go have a drink." She said, "I don't drink." She said, what do you mean you don't drink? She said, well, when I'm in front of the children, I don't drink. I don't want them to see me drinking. And when they're not around, who needs it? But do you know what Nicodemus did? He went to Jesus. Nicodemus went to Jesus. And I hope you and I are learning to do that. I hope that when we discover that harder work and bigger objectives and higher goals still don't satisfy because they aren't ministering to our spiritual needs, that we can admit that what we really need is a deepened, renewed relationship to Jesus. Do you think Jesus is for weak people? Nicodemus wasn't weak. He was a strong man. He was an able man, a successful man, but he still needed Jesus. And he was strong enough to admit that. Do you know it's the weak man who's afraid to admit he has a need? Do you know it's the insecure person who can't admit a failure, who's unable to apologize and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? No, Jesus is for strong people who have the power and who are brave enough to admit, I've got a need. Whoever you are this morning and whatever your needs, your failures that cause you pain and hurt and disillusionment, Jesus can meet our most profound need. And whatever successes we've had that leave us feeling empty and dissatisfied and unfulfilled, Christ is the answer. And that's why Nicodemus went to Jesus. Somehow he recognized that this young man, who was probably 30 years old at the time, and here he is, a leader, a ruler of the Jews, a religious leader, and yet he recognized that here was something he desperately needed in his life, and he was strong enough to admit it. But I want you to notice what happened to Nicodemus when he went to Jesus. Jesus said to him, you know, he just pushed aside this facade that Nicodemus threw up and said, oh, you are a great man. You couldn't do what you're doing unless God was in it. And Jesus just pushes that aside and he says, Nicodemus, you have this need in your heart. You want to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Well, now, Nicodemus had not expected that. After all, he wasn't a bad person. He was a moral person who sought to follow the Hebrew law. He was a religious leader. All he really wanted to do was to turn over a new leaf, to correct a few things. Do you have that problem? I do. You see, I just want to be corrected a little, straightened out a little, fulfilled a little. But Jesus wants us to be a fanatic. He talks so radical, and I don't want to be a fanatic. Do you? He talks about the difference between life and death, between darkness and light, and old wineskins and new wineskins, and that's so radical. And all I wanted to do was turn over a new leaf to be patched up a bit. And he says, no, you've got to start from scratch. You've got to be born again. Have you ever wondered why Jesus talks that way? Have you ever wondered why Jesus talks so radically when we're not even sure we want that much religion? Well, notice in the first place, we don't so much need to turn over a new side to the leaf as we need for the old side to be forgiven, to be pardoned. See how it works. When you turn over a leaf, where is the old side? Well, now it's hidden. It's buried. And do you know that's the wrong thing to do with failure and with sin? Failures and sins should never be buried. Then they become those secret sins the psalmist talks about. You haven't gotten rid of the old side of the leaf when you turn over a new side. Instead, you still have the old side. Our sins and failures don't need to be buried and turned over, they need to be pardoned, forgiven. Repression of sin is the worst thing we can do to ourselves. We may bury our sins, but there they lie. From the depths of our unconsciousness, they continue to torment and hurt us, and they cause us tension and depression and hostility. But because they're repressed, we're not aware of what's causing these terrible things to go on in our souls. So sin should never be buried. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be forgiven, to be pardoned. And that's what Jesus has to offer you and me. Back in the mid-60s, Jim Cantrell was pastor of the Third Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. And some family members asked Jim if he would visit a man on death row in Kilby Prison who was awaiting to be executed for murder. The man's name was Bill Bowen, and through Jim Cantrell, he came to know Jesus. And he wrote him several letters. One, he said, "I knew what I did was a terrible thing. I felt that no one would ever love me again, not even God. But Jesus came to me here on death row. He forgave me. He gave me peace of mind and heart. At last the day came and Bill Bowen paid for his murder with his own life." And in the last letter to Jim Cantrell, the man who had become his pastor, this is what he said: "If in my hour I can show some people that the love of God will reach even to the lowest of men, that he comes to death row as well as any place, then I will go happy." You see, when we've done our worst, we don't need to turn over a new leaf. What we really need is forgiveness, a pardon that will reach down into the death row in the inner being of our soul to bring us forgiveness. Notice in the second place that we don't so much need a new leaf as we need some new power. Think about the times you've determined to turn over a new leaf. What are you really saying when you do that? Are you not saying something like this: "I'm going to start over. I am going to forget the past. I'm going to have a new sheet. I'm going to try harder, and this time I am determined that I'm going to be a better person, and I am going to live a better life." And on whom does the success of that new leaf depend? On the I. I was going through a personal file in my office the other day, and I found a sheet folded up, and I opened it up because I didn't know what it was. And I suddenly remembered as I looked at it what I had done several years ago was to write down some things in my life that I was going to improve or change. And as I looked over the list, I was embarrassed to discover that at best only one of them had been accomplished. You see, the reason we want a new leaf and the reason we want to get rid of the old one is because we failed, and that's what happened to me. And what's to keep us from failing again? So I don't really need a new leaf, I need some new power. If I have to depend on the old me very shortly, that new leaf is going to be as damaged as the old leaf, and then I'm going to have two sides of the leaf in trouble. I need a new me, not a new leaf. I need new power to live a new life. And that's just what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, "You must be born again." You don't need a new leaf, Nicodemus. You need a new life. You need new power. And when you invite Jesus into your life, he gives you that power. He gives you the Holy Spirit. And then you have the equipment, the power source to live for him. And when you surrender your will to Jesus, when you turn the control of your life over to him, he puts the power of his Spirit into your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I've turned over a lot of new leaves in my time, and it has never worked yet. I've got enough old leaves to have a bonfire. I don't need a new life, a new leaf. I need a new life. I need the power of Jesus in my heart to help me do and be and become what God wants me to be. And that's exactly what Jesus has to offer you, a new power to live for him. And then notice in the third place that Nicodemus didn't so much need a new leaf as he needed a new presence in his life. He needed pardon, he needed power, but most of all he needed a presence. Do you sometimes feel lonely and isolated even when you're with a crowd of people? But do you remember the promise that Jesus makes to those who believe in him and follow him? He said to his disciples, and he says to us today, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. That's what I need, somebody with me. Let me share with you a story about Roy Clark. Roy, as you know, is the star of the popular television show Hee Haw. And back when Roy was struggling to make a name for himself, he and his wife Barbara were driving through Arkansas. Barbara had been sick, and they were driving through the night through a desolate stretch of Arkansas, and most stretches in Arkansas are pretty desolate. And at last, Roy spotted an all-night service station. And he was directed to the nearest hospital 20 miles away in Conway, Arkansas. And there in the emergency room, the doctor told him that his wife was bleeding internally and he would have to operate immediately. As it turned out, she had had a tubal pregnancy which had ruptured, and the doctors almost lost her in the operating room. But during the surgery, as Roy waited all alone in a little town in Arkansas where he knew no one and had no friends, he began to pray. Lord, he said, being a successful entertainer doesn't seem so important to me now. I love Barbara. She means more to me than anything. She's all I really care about. Please help her. Roy describes what happened next this way. Then a strange thing happened in that little Arkansas hospital's waiting room. On the heels of my desperate prayer, a surge of warmth flooded my body, a feeling I'd never experienced before. It was like warm hands on cold flesh. No longer did I feel alone in the room. Someone was there with me, a caring presence. Then came a voice, a comforting voice, and to this day I swear it was God's. Barbara's going to be all right. Yes, no longer did I feel alone in the room. Someone was there with me, a caring presence. That's what I need too. Someone, a presence, who cares and who will walk with me when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who will walk with me when I go through the valley of the shadow of disappointment and frustration. No, we don't need a new leaf. We need a new life, a life that brings us forgiveness, that brings us that pardon, that brings us that power, that brings us that presence, so that we can say, someone was there with me, a caring presence. That's what I need, don't you? Let us pray. Father, if there's anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, I pray that that person will open his or her heart and invite him in to bring pardon and power and a living presence. But Father, most of us here have professed and confessed Jesus in times past. But the newness and the excitement of it grew dim and wore off. And that was because we didn't use the power. We turned it off and we turned our backs on Him. And as a consequence, Lord, we need new pardon, fresh pardon every day. We need new power, fresh every morning and renewed every night. And above all, we need His presence to go with us. And I pray for all of us, Father, that we will say again, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. Bring me that pardon, that power, that presence. For we ask it in His name. Amen.